Luke chapter 13. I'll break out of my predictability for just a little bit and be in a new place. Past few weeks, we've been looking at Christmas stories. We've been looking at the accounts of Jesus' birth and things. And so this week, we are our final Sunday before the year 2020. Final Sunday before year 2021. And we're going to meet together Wednesday night for our last church service of this year. And we're going to be diving into a new year. And this year has flown by. It's been a crazy year, and we could spend a lot of time looking back over this past year and probably do a lot of complaining about it, to be honest with you. But as I was thinking about that, Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so if there's any year that deserves to be forgotten about, I think 2020 is it. And so just like Paul, forgetting those things which are behind us, looking forward, pressing toward the mark of the high calling, looking ahead of us. And so today we're going to be looking forward into the new year. We're going to be turning our attention to this new year and hopefully looking at it not with dread, but with hope, with anticipation. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow, I know, but as long as tomorrow keeps coming, I think we need to make the most out of it. We need to see it as an opportunity, and we have an opportunity to be fruitful, a chance to be fruitful. And I've preached from this passage in the past. I'm not sure if I have here or not, but I have in the States I know of. And so if I've preached it here, you have to overlook it. It's a new message from the same passage, okay? But anyway, we're going to be in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. We're going to be seeing that we have another chance to be fruitful. And so Luke chapter 13, verse number 6 says, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, and we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this year that you've given us. Lord, we've done our share of complaining about it, but Lord, honestly, we're grateful. We're thankful for the life that you've given us and your goodness toward us, and most of all for your salvation. And Lord, we pray, Lord, as we look toward this coming year, help us, Lord, to be fruitful in this year. Lord, help us, Lord, to take and make the most of the opportunities that you give us. And Lord, I just pray you be with our time, our fellowship today. Be with me as I preach and guide me in your word. And we thank you so much for all you do. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the passage that we read, Jesus is telling a simple parable. In Scripture, he often told parables and used illustrations to get his point across. And I often do the same thing as well, because it just seems like it helps whenever you can relate something to something else. It just kind of draw a picture with your words. And so in this parable, there was a man that owned a vineyard. And in that vineyard, of course, usually there's grapes, right? But you could have other plants in your vineyard. And so he had also a fig tree. And this fig tree, for some reason, was not a fruitful fig tree. It says that he has come for 3 years. 3 years in a row he came looking for fruit on that fig tree. He gave it three opportunities. And all three of those years he expected to receive figs, and he didn't get any figs. And so he told the keeper of the vineyard, "Cut down this fig tree. There's no need for it sucking nutrients out of the ground that could go to other plants. And so just cut it down." And the keeper of the vineyard, for whatever reason, interceded on behalf of this little fig tree and said, "Give it one more year. Let me put some effort out. Let me work on this thing. And I'll dig around it. I'll break up the dirt around the roots and everything so its roots can go out into the ground. and I'll dung it about. I'll put fertilizer on it. I'm going to give it every opportunity possible for it to finally produce fruit this year. And if it doesn't produce fruit this year, then you can cut it down. This is what he tells him. And so, just to be honest with you, I don't really feel as if I've been all that fruitful this past year. I mean, we've been in lockdown, we've been inside, we've been prevented from doing a lot of the things that we would like to do. And it does, yeah, even with church, we don't feel all that fruitful. I know I don't feel all that fruitful. And although a lot of times I talk about how good it'd be to go to heaven right now and talk about how close the end is, to be honest with you, I don't think that I would be happy. I don't think that I would be satisfied to go into eternity right now in the shape that I've been in. I feel kind of like this little fig tree, this unfruitful fig tree. And it just, honestly, I would like to go out on a high note. I would like to be fruitful as I'm leaving, you know.
Right.
But I don't feel like this year I've been all that fruitful. And whenever I read this passage, every time that I read it, the part that stands out to me is this idea of having one more year. Mm-hmm. Having another opportunity. And that's just what sticks in my mind. And so the thought comes to me that, Lord, if you just give me one more year, help me to be more fruitful in this year. Every time we look at the new year, every time we come to the close of one, the opening of the next, I want to be more fruitful in the next year than I was in this past year.
Right.
I want to be able to do more for the Lord in the next year than I did in the year before. I want to be growing in my walk with God, not growing stale or apathetic or complacent.
Yeah.
I want to be growing. That should be our desire. That's what every plant is for, right?
Right.
They are to grow. And if a plant isn't growing, there's something wrong. Well, also, many times in Scripture, we are compared to plants. And whenever we're not growing, there's something wrong.
Right.
We need to be growing.
Right.
And there are things that hinder our growth. We're going to look at those today. There are ways to take care of those hindrances. We're going to look at those today. But this is what we want to do. If we are truly saved, if we are truly a child of God, God puts within us a desire
right.
to grow.
Right.
Now, we don't always do that, but he puts a desire in us to grow. We should have that there. And so this year presents us with another chance to be fruitful. And so I want to be clear with the context of this first, because I know a lot of people will take just a short passage of Scripture, take it out of context and apply it in different ways, but I want to be true to the context as well. And so in this passage, as Jesus was telling this parable, he was making a point to Israel. And the fig tree that we see in this parable was Israel, okay? Now we're going to be comparing ourselves today to this fig tree, but first and foremost, the way that the Bible tells us, the way that Jesus intended this parable was for Israel. Okay? I don't want to ever be guilty of taking things out of context. And so anyway, Jesus was telling the people of Israel while he was walking on the earth amongst them how many opportunities God had given them to be fruitful. And how he was giving them one more opportunity to be fruitful. And so as he's telling them all this, they know what he's talking about. All throughout Scripture, we find Israel compared to a fig tree. And so he says, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I'm not finding any.
Right.
I'm giving it one more opportunity. I'm going about and I'm breaking up the hard ground around its roots. I am putting the fertilizer to it. I'm doing all of these things. All the things that Jesus did while he was here on this earth was their extra year.
Mm-hmm.
To get them to produce fruit, to get them to return to God, to accept God, to worship God. He gave them one more year.
Mm-hmm.
We find at the end of Jesus' ministry in his final week on this earth that he's going back and forth between, I believe, Bethany and Jerusalem. And on one of those walks, as he's going along with his disciples, they pass by a fig tree that is barren.
Right.
And he looks for fruit on it and it has none. And he curses the fig tree and it withers away.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the final week of his life, right before he goes to the cross. He curses the fig tree. That's the fulfillment of what we read here. He gives it one more year to produce fruit. It doesn't produce any. And so then he cuts it down. And after Jesus is crucified, within 40 years of his death, Jerusalem is basically sacked and destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Within just a few years after that, the nation of Israel no longer existed. They were dispersed. They were destroyed. They no longer had a country. And so this was the application to Israel. is that he was giving them one last opportunity. While Jesus himself, the good gardener, was on this earth, he was giving them one last opportunity to bear fruit, and then he was going to pluck them up. He was going to cut them down if they didn't bear fruit. And they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So he plucked them up. Mm-hmm. We know that it wasn't forever because Israel's back growing again.
Right.
And so anyway, that is the main application. This is the intended meaning behind what Jesus is telling here. But now I want to warn us, because we're going to be applying this to ourselves today, is that the point I'm trying to get across isn't that you better be fruitful or God's going to cut you down.
Right.
Because there's plenty of people that try to preach it that way. That's not what the Bible's telling us.
Right.
Because if you do that, if you bring it out that way, you're losing track of the fact here that God had already dealt with Israel for many, 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 many years.
Mm-hmm.
He had already been extremely long-suffering, extremely patient, extremely gracious with them before they got to this point. So the point of the message for us today as Christians isn't to get your act together or God's going to destroy you.
Right.
No, that's not what it's saying. God is long-suffering,
mm-hmm.
and he's working in our lives, and he's desiring us to produce fruit.
Right.
He's working on us to get us to the place where we produce fruit.
Yeah.
And we should desire to produce that fruit, okay? Not of our own, not of our own abilities, not what we can muster out. It doesn't matter how hard the fruit tree tries, the fig tree tries. It's not going to be able to produce a single fig on its own, right? God orchestrates all that. God does all those things. And so I don't want us to get the wrong idea and think that God's going to cut you down if you're not fruitful. He's going to be patient with us, just as he was with Israel. He worked with them for thousands of years. And it amazes me how many years he'll work on us with us still being unfruitful. So I want to look at three things today about making the most out of our chance this year to be fruitful. If he gives us another chance, we make it another year. I want to use it to glorify him,
right,
to produce fruit for his glory. And so the very first thing about this is specifically, what is fruit or fruitfulness? Because sometimes, even though parables and illustrations are great, if you don't understand what the symbols are in the parables, you're going to get yourself messed up, right? Whenever we talk about fruit or fruitfulness in Scripture, we're not talking about apples and oranges and pears and bananas.
Right.
Okay? You're never going to be fruitful, as in there's going to be fruit growing off your earlobes or something like that. We're not talking about that kind of fruit. But what fruit is that whenever we talk about Christians producing fruit, it is the product of the Holy Spirit working in us as we allow him to. And so we yield to him. We allow him to affect our lives. And the result of that is what we call fruit, or fruit of the Spirit. We find in Galatians chapter number 5 a listing of fruits of the Spirit. And it's not a complete listing, by the way.
Will you repeat your definition?
My definition for fruit?
Mm-hmm.
It is the product of the work the Holy Spirit does in us when we yield to him or allow him to have his way. I know that isn't exactly the way I said it the first time. Okay, so Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 gives us a listing, a partial listing, of what the Spirit does in a person's life. Let's see, 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so there is a list of several of the fruits of the Spirit. Then we look over in 2 Peter for another good list here. But Peter goes a little bit more in depth. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse number 2, this is Peter's introduction to his letter. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter gives us a listing here of things that are added to our Christian walk here. And he says specifically, they are going to make it that we're not barren nor unfruitful. And so we have a good example here of what it means to be fruitful or to produce fruit. It is what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's the work that he does, the results of that work in us, I guess I should say. And so as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we allow him to do a work in us, to change us, then fruits abound as a result. He starts cultivating love in our hearts and meekness and gentleness. He starts making us a witness and a testimony in our community. He starts bringing about the fruit of saved souls to our account. All these different things that he brings about as fruit. But it all starts with our yielding to him. And basically what yielding is just like it is in driving and traffic and different things. It means to let someone else, let the Holy Spirit have his way. I could charge forth and I could do it my way, but I choose to stop and allow him to do it his way. So you kind of picture that as you're coming into a roundabout, right? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, whenever we just put this all simply, when we desire the things of God and allow him to guide us, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. He produces results. And these results glorify God. John chapter 15 and verse 8 says, Herein is the Father glorified in that you produce much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you produce much fruit. So whenever we produce fruit, it glorifies God. And going back to what we said a moment ago, it's the Holy Spirit, it is God working in us that produces the fruit which brings him glory. And so we are just a conduit. We are just a container, I guess we could say, that God uses to produce these things. But we have to make ourselves available. We are a vessel. And so as I've already said, I haven't been as fruitful this year as what I would like to be. And so more than likely, most of us could say the same thing. But why is it that we aren't as fruitful? What is it that hinders fruitfulness? And so that's the next thing I want to look at. We saw what fruit is or fruitfulness is. What hinders fruitfulness? Because if there's something that's causing us to be barren or unfruitful, we'd like to know what it is so we take care of it, right? Or how to take care of it. Most of the time. Sometimes we want to stay ignorant or stubborn or unfruitful, right? Refusing to yield. So what hinders fruitfulness? Well, I guess desire is one of them, but that's not in the notes. But the tree in this parable was old enough that it should have produced fruit. God is not unreasonable. He's not coming to a sapling and saying, why don't you have a fig when you already? We're impatient. We would like something to produce fruit immediately, right? If I was to plant a garden, you're going out every day looking for increase, right? I know I've been around. I haven't planted any apple trees, but my father-in-law planted lots of apple trees. And he would bring these little sticks, these little twigs, and put them in the ground, and they would start growing. And I'm going out year after year, and I'm like, maybe by the time I retire, I'll be able to eat an apple off this thing. Maybe by the time I'm, X amount of, maybe my grandkids will finally be able to eat off of this. Because it seems like it takes forever for a tree to produce fruit. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's ever grew a tree knows that it takes a while before it bears. Mm-hmm. But for this tree in our story, we find that he gave it plenty of time for it to produce fruit. He's not unreasonable in his expectations. And then whenever it finally came time for it to produce fruit, he came for 3 consecutive years, giving it extra time to produce fruit. And it still didn't. And then whenever it didn't produce fruit in those 3 consecutive years, he waits another year for it to produce. You see this? He's long-suffering. And so the tree was old enough to produce fruit. It should have been matured enough to produce fruit. The garden that it was in was good. He gave it plenty of time. And so what was the problem with this tree? Of course, the parable never explains to us. It never goes down into an in-depth analysis of why this tree didn't produce fruit. We know that it applies to Israel when we see why they didn't, right? But I want to kind of continue going through this this parable, this imagery of the tree, because the Bible uses it often. It's a good analogy, and I like trees. I spent plenty of time around trees. I've cut a lot of trees down. Planted some, but I cut a lot down. But I like trees, and so we're going to stick with the tree analysis today, if that's okay. And we see that trees are a lot like people, a lot like Christians. We see that we're going to have a lot of things in common with them. And there's many things that hinder their growth and their fruitfulness. And we see the same things hinder our growth and our fruitfulness. And so the first thing that I find with trees and with Christians that hinder fruit bearing is parasites. Parasites. You say, well, how does a parasite keep a Christian from bearing fruit? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. But what a parasite is anything that either keeps a tree from getting the nourishment and the nutrients that it needs, or that takes away the nutrients and the nourishment the tree needs. Mary and I was talking this past week about mistletoe. Mistletoe is a tree parasite.
Yeah.
It grows in the tops of trees. It roots into the trees, and it takes away nourishment from the trees. It can actually kill out trees if it's left to go long enough. There are several other parasites that grow on trees, or there can even be ones that don't grow on them but grow over a tree. If you take a tree and you put it in a place that's extremely shady, if it's got other trees towering over it, it'll block out all of the sunlight. And whenever things get between that tree and the sunlight, it keeps it from growing and being healthy and fruitful. And so there are many different types of parasites, but what it does is it blocks out the nutrients that it needs. It keeps it from getting what it needs, or it takes away the nutrients that it needs, and it causes the tree to be unhealthy. And so for us as Christians, we have the same problem, is that there are many different things that can come into our lives that can latch onto us and start stealing away the nutrients that we need and keep us from being healthy. There are a lot of parasites that steal our time away so that we don't have time for prayer or for the Bible or for church. There are things that steal away the peace that we have in our mind. There are things that steal away our focus, our attention, and keep us distracted. There are things that come between us and the sun, just like those trees that come up over top of the others and choke them out. And so all these things enter into our lives as parasites, sucking and draining the life out of us, spiritually speaking, so we are unable to produce fruit, just like the trees do. And so if we allow these sinful influences and these different things, these distractions to come in, they are going to affect our minds, it's going to affect our hearts, it's going to cause us to be hardened toward the things of God and hardened toward God himself, and we are going to become unfruitful. And so if we're wise, and if we desire to be fruitful, we're going to start evaluating the things that are affecting our fruitfulness, the things that are influencing us spiritually, the things that are taking away the spiritual life from us. And if we're wise, we're going to be doing something about those things. A lot of times it's easier just to kind of coast along and allow those things to continue and not do anything about it. And the next thing that we know, we've been sucked dry. Whenever I think about parasites, I remember back in the States, I know we're going outside of trees now, but anyway, back in the States, I can remember we had ticks. We had deer ticks. And if you had a dog or a cat, these ticks would latch onto a dog or a cat, and they would start sucking the life out of the dog. They would drink the blood out of the dog. And if the tick infestation was bad enough, it could kill the dog. Literally taking its blood from it.
Right.
Taking all the nutrients from it. It could kill it. Long before it killed it, it can make it very sick. So we always would have to check dogs for ticks and things like that. Trees can be the same way. You have to be watching over the trees and different things. An arborist is going to go through, looking over all of his orchard for any signs of any sight of parasites.
Right.
Farms spend millions to control parasites, to get rid of bugs and different things. There are entire populations of trees back in West Virginia that no longer exist anymore because of parasites.
Yes.
Whenever I was still cutting trees and things, we had what was called the gypsy moth. And they, for some reason, like white oak trees. You go to West Virginia today, there's very few white oak trees because of the gypsy moss. There was a parasite that killed them out. So we take this and we apply it to our own lives as Christians. There are very small parasites that start latching onto us. And they get root in there, they take hold in there, and they get a bigger and bigger presence in our lives. They suck all of the life out of us spiritually to where we are unable to produce fruit. We are spiritually anemic. We are unhealthy. And there will be no fruit that's produced. And so these are all things that attack us from the outside. But the next thing that we have here that will keep a tree from being fruitful is disease. Parasites attack from outside. Disease attacks from inside. And so trees can get different kinds of diseases. And it gets into the insides of them. It'll go to their core. And it will rot a tree from the inside out. All kinds of different diseases that can go into them. But oftentimes a disease enters a tree through a wound. You have to be careful how you care for a tree, because if you wound it, disease can enter in and kill the tree. We've got several trees that grow around our garden here, and you have to be real careful when you cut the grass, because if you get against them and you skin the bark off of them, it opens up their insides to where disease can get into it and can kill it. It causes scarring and all kinds of stuff that happens there. I can remember, just as a similar illustration, whenever I was a kid, we had a tree behind the house. And it was a small, like, tree. And my brother and I, we were mean as could be. And one day while Dad was at work, my brother and I went out back, and there was a loose piece of bark on that tree. And we just peeled and peeled and peeled the bark off of that tree. We had it skinned all the way around it. And my dad got home, and he saw what we did with the tree, and so he whipped us with the bark. But anyway, but that tree scarred down the side of it, and it began to rot down the side of it because we opened up a wound for it and we allowed disease to get in. And so that was why Dad was upset at us for taking the bark off of the tree, because we were destroyed by doing that. And so I guess in that sense, we were parasites. But anyway, the reason I say all these stories is because with us as Christians is that we allow things that get inside of us that keep us from being fruitful. There are diseases that creep into us that will take away our fruitfulness. And just like a tree, oftentimes these diseases enter in the wound. We've been hurt by someone or by something, and the diseases start to take root. We get diseases such as jealousy or bitterness or anger or hatred and many different things like that that creep inside of us and continue to grow and hinder us from being fruitful. If these things are left unchecked, if they're left uncontrolled and untreated, they will rot us from the inside out. They will affect our heart, affect our being, and they will make us unfruitful as Christians. They have to be dealt with. The last thing that we find here that I've got written down, although I know there's more, that keeps us from being fruitful, is unmanaged growth. Unmanaged growth. And this is maybe a little bit different of an idea here, but anyone who's ever tried to grow a fruit tree knows that you have to manage the way that it grows. You have to be active in the life of that tree from the time that it's a sapling all the way up until long after it's bearing fruit, to shape that tree and to help that tree to grow in a way that's healthy and able to produce fruit. And so if you take an apple tree, for instance, because that's just what often comes to my mind, because I'm not accustomed to fig trees, okay? They don't grow around here. They don't grow back home. But apple trees do. And so for an apple tree, by nature, an apple tree will grow limbs that are not good for fruit bearing.
Right.
We call them sucker branches where I'm from, okay? And it'll shoot out these limbs that will never get to the place where they can support apples. They can never support fruit bearing. They're not going to ever grow anything. All they're going to do is stick out from that tree and take nutrients and take nutrition away from that tree that could be going to producing apples.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so a good arborist knows which limbs are good and which ones aren't. They have to grow at the right angle, because if they grow at the wrong angle, they can't bear the weight. If apples go on those limbs, it can't bear the weight, and it breaks the limbs off of the tree and injures the tree.
Right.
and leaves it susceptible to disease. Mm-hmm. So they cut those limbs off. The ones that won't produce fruit, they cut those limbs off so that it's not taking away from the good limbs. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you say, well, that's all well and good, but I didn't come for a lesson in tree surgery and all this stuff. Well, whenever we apply it to our own lives, there are many things that grow in our lives naturally. And just because it grows naturally doesn't mean it's good. Okay? There are many things in my life that have grown naturally, things that just come natural to me, but they're not healthy. But they don't help me in producing fruit. They don't help me in being fruitful in the work of the Lord. By nature, I'm very sarcastic. And you all know that sarcasm doesn't exactly produce fruit for the Lord. I can be rather sharp with my tongue if I'm not careful. I have a quick wit, and sometimes I'm glad for that, but other times I don't think before I speak, and I do like Peter. Mm-hmm. Not this Peter, the Bible. And so if I'm not careful, if I don't watch what I say, I can cause a lot of harm to people, and I can destroy a lot of fruit. But these are things that come naturally to me, things that just naturally occur, whether it's my sharp tongue, my sarcasm. I can be a little bit skeptical, cynical at times, and I catch myself doing that sometimes. I can find the negative in situations. I can take something that's good, and I can tell you what's wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And Sarah's sitting here shaking her head at me. She's like, yeah, you can do that. And so these are things that can actually prevent me from producing fruit. They grow naturally out of me, but they aren't good for me. Right. And they hinder me. Yeah. And so I need a good gardener to come through and help prune away those branches. I need him to help curb those things. And he has in my life in many things. I still have to be careful of it, but Les can attest to this, that I'm much more careful now about what I say than I have in past years. Right. It used to be I didn't care. I'd say it. If it came to my mind, I said it. But the Lord is working on me, and he's cutting away those branches and helping me to be more careful in the things that I say and the way I say it. Mm-hmm. Do I always do that? No. He's still pruning me. He's still working on me. He's still cutting those things away. And so there needs to be managed growth. There needs to be limbs cut away. There needs to be parasites dealt with. There needs to be diseases treated and things like that. And so those have to be done before we can produce fruit.
Right.
Those are all working to hinder us from producing fruit. And so the last thing that I want to look at in here is that it is Jesus that can make us fruitful. We notice in our parable here that the gardener interceded on behalf of this poor little barren fruit tree and said, give it one more year and let me work on it. Let me do this work to it and see if I can make it fruitful. And I think it's fairly clear that it's Jesus that's the one that works in our hearts and our lives to make us fruitful. Mm-hmm. Him and his Holy Spirit that works in our lives to make us fruitful. This gardener was willing to put the time and the work into this little fruitless tree. He was going to dig around it and break up the hard soil. He was going to feed it, give it nourishment. He was going to help it grow. He was going to encourage fruitfulness. Everything that it needed was there. It was just left up to the tree to surrender to it, to yield to it, and to produce the fruit. And so Jesus is patient with us. He softens the hard soil of our heart. He provides all the nourishment we need through his word. And then he helps us to identify and get rid of the parasites. We often see this as conviction. Whenever there are things entering into our lives that shouldn't be there, that's harmful to us, the Holy Spirit will put his finger on it and say, this is harmful to you. You need to get rid of it. Oftentimes we hold on to it. We refuse to get rid of it. But he tells us this is going to hurt us. We yield to the Spirit and we get rid of that. And it helps us become more healthy. We find that he is the good physician and he can heal those diseases that enter in through those wounds. He can help us to overcome the jealousy and the envy and the bitterness and the strife, all of those different diseases that affect our heart and harden us toward God. He's able to do that. He's able to prune away the fruitless branches, those things that come to us naturally, those personality traits or those habits that we picked up over time. He's able to come and to snip those off. And able to cause us to be more fruitful, more able to bear fruit. And I stress once again that he is patient all the while doing this, giving us year after year, continuing to point out these different things and allowing us the chance whether or not we yield to it, whether or not we allow him to make the changes, he doesn't force them upon us. He's patient, he's skillfully molding and shaping us into his image, making us fruitful and making our lives to bring God the glory that he's created us to do. He's doing all those things in our lives. But our part in the matter is to yield to him, to allow the master gardener to do what he can do, to heal the diseases, to take away the parasites, to trim back the unfruitful branches, and to make us fruitful. As we approach another year, these are our choices. We have a choice whether we yield to his spirit or we refuse it. Mm-hmm. Whether we follow his way or our way. Mm-hmm. Whether we're fruitful or we're barren. Mm-hmm. The choice is ours. He produces the fruit in us, but only when we allow him to. And so this year, this coming year, I should say, we're not there yet. I desire to be more fruitful. I want to be more submissive to his will. I want to yield to his spirit. I want to do away with some of these parasites, get healed of some of these diseases, trim back some of these unfruitful branches so that I can bring God more glory, so that I can produce more fruit, and so that this world can glorify God because of it. This is what I desire for us. And I hope that you can take these little lessons here. I know we're talking a lot about trees today, but I hope it's been a help and a good illustration for you to see these things in your life and see the way that God deals with these things in our lives, and that you'll desire to be more fruitful in this next year. Let's pray that we can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. And thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, for this illustration and this parable. Lord, I pray that we haven't got sidetracked or distracted by all the tree analogy, Lord. But we can see how you work in our lives and how these things hinder us from becoming fruitful. And Lord, help us to let you do the work that only you can do in our lives to make us fruitful. I pray that we can be more fruitful in this coming year than we were the previous, that we can continue our growth. Help us, Lord, to be a witness and be a light in this world. Help us, Lord, to be a reflection of you in this world. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do. We pray that you be with our fellowship one with another. Be with the ones who are sick amongst us, Lord, and heal them up. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.